You're listening to That's Not in My Bible, a ministry of Logos Christian Fellowship. I'm Nate Ward. Does the Bible intrigue you? Are you looking for answers to tough questions? Get out your Bibles and get ready to be healed, restored, directed, and delivered by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's my dad and pastor, Nick Ward.
I'm sure that this sermon's being given all over the U.S. right now. So I've titled this sermon 2020 Vision. How will God use you this year? Let's get started in this because really what I want to do is cover three main things, but let's get into the reason why first. Go to Mark 16:15. That's Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is something we've sort of integrated into our church logo. If you missed it, it's the green there. We're sending you. You're a missionary. You're an evangelist. God has a call for you, and he's got a purpose for you. And it's not about realizing your own kingdom on this earth. It's about being a part of the kingdom. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every creation. All of creation gets the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached. He said, go, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. They would tell about God's miracles and God would step in and make the miraculous happen. He would display his power through their preaching. Right on. What do you have to do? You have to go and you have to preach. And you can't be discriminatory and go, well, if I go preach there, then that would be like drinking poison. Those people are going to beat me up. They're going to hurt me. Right? It says right there. So they didn't do that. They said they would go in and even take up the serpents. Which is, you know, pretty common these days. You can walk into just about any crowd wearing the wrong hat or wrong colors or wrong bandanas or whatever it might be, and now you are in a world of trouble. But they preach to every creature. So we're going to start off with a look back at this year. And I want to say right up front, the accomplishments of this little church are nothing short of miraculous. We live in a miraculous church. Let's take a look. Forest Ministry. This year, we've been reaching out to homeless, veterans, and hippies. We do this in three primary ways. One, we're doing water, and we're doing food. When the gathering happens in February, we supply the water for that. Clean water makes a huge difference in the camps in terms of cleanliness. And health overall, less dehydration, all of that, pretty important. And then what we're doing is we're supplying water, but that water then has to be delivered to the kitchens, right? So they take that water from our source over to the kitchens, and then the kitchens now are blessing everyone. We bring food in and hand it to the kitchens. We're not there feeding people. That's not our job. There are people that God has called to minister to the family, they're already there. Clothing. We get clothing donations. One happened in the middle of the sermon last week. A big donation of clothing came in, and we've already got that set up to head out to the forest. And another one today, in fact. So and there's some organization that requires, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes involved with that. But that's just one of the things that we're doing with that forest ministry. And stuff is happening there throughout the year, thanks to those who are involved in that ministry. Africa ministry. We have three main focuses there. We have one minister that's in charge of pastoral training. He trains up pastors. We have another one that's involved more with evangelism and in doing outreaches and sort of getting local pastors together and doing big giant outreaches. And this year we've stepped out into Tanzania as well, not just Kenya, but Tanzania as well. And Tanzania is a mess. Oh my gosh. Looking at pictures of like burnout buildings and stuff from just, you know, they didn't want that church there, so they got rid of that church. And also, I don't know if you noticed, but on our Facebook, we have an orphanage. The orphanage, we've just finished rebuilding two things. Due to an accident in Kenya, the government came down and said, if you don't have an established building, then you're not able to hold a school. We will shut you down. So we scrambled, used some emergency funds, and basically helped them put that whole project together. They now have, I think, two buildings, something like that, that both hold 100 kids each. One of the things that they've expanded this last year is reaching out to the homeless kids in their areas and helping getting them off the street. And basically what they're doing is they're taking them from a human trafficking situation. That would be the alternative. And so they're taking them out of that situation and boarding them so that they don't have to go out on the streets and be a part of that other system. An amazing piece right there. So it's not just an orphanage, it's also teaching kids and also teaching them how to read and also teaching them about God, but it's also taking some of the worst, most vulnerable kids in Kenya and pulling them off the street. And one of the things that we help out there is in providing food so that they can take food back to their families so they don't have to go beg while it's on the school break, because otherwise it'd put them right back out in that system again. Food bank ministry. These numbers aren't accurate. We haven't totaled up this year. I threw in last year's numbers because I figured we're probably either beating these or we're right about the same anyway. But I'm going to say give or take 17 tons of food have gone through that little room right there and out into the community and out into the forest. And I've eaten plenty of snacks and stuff out of there too. Those granola bars are great.
And turtle
oaks. Yeah, and turtle oaks and purpose. Yep, right on. What's amazing about that is we have this great opportunity to say, take some food. And if you know someone that's hungry, make sure they eat. What does that do? It says you're not just a needy person. You're actually a minister and you're going to go help others. It's immense. Worship ministry. We've introduced a bunch of new songs this year. We added a bass player. Technically, we also added a keyboard player, but he's dual duties on guitar and keyboards. Right? Yeah, exactly. Teaching ministry. We finished the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. We were in that study. We're in the book of Numbers. We watched Pilgrim's Progress, which was an animated feature, retelling of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. We watched Torture for Christ and Sheep Among Wolves. Sheep Among Wolves telling about revival that's happening in Iran right now. We're still continuing our Wednesday night Bible study. Ladies Bible study happens, I think on Fridays. And we've added something amazing this year, Logos Kids. So that's exciting right there. And so there's a lot of stuff that's happened this year from the teaching aspect. You know, our study of the Word is extremely important. I'm proud of the fact that we focus on Scripture. We want to get into it. We want to study it deep. We don't want just a surface thing. And my hope is that we continue this idea that if you're here for 2 years of listening to sermons, you're getting enough that it's like getting a small Bible degree. You're getting that level of sermon, that level there. Prayer ministry. This year we hosted a night of prayer. We had several different, you know, people from several different ministries, churches, backgrounds, whatnot, all come and meet here for a night of prayer. That was fantastic. We've done a lot of healing, a lot of prayer for healing. We've done deliverance, usually right after church. We had a couple. You got waylaid. A lot of different things there. I've also been praying with people that contact us through the through our website and through our phone line, that sort of thing. And so some deliverance ministry happening there. Been working on some training as well for someone else who's sort of seems to be called to the deliverance ministry. Grounds. Can't remember if this year we got our new mower or not, but anyway, it looks great out there. The grounds have been so well maintained. Thank you, Todd. And we've updated the stage. We updated the media system. We added bathroom rails. I don't know if you've noticed or not, there's been a ton of cleaning and organization that's happened in the last couple of weeks. So that's really good. Thank you, ma'am. So all of that is great, because if we're clean and organized, then we can receive more stuff to give out more stuff, right? If we're all backed up and we're all choked up with a bunch of donations and we can't get through it and we don't know what goes where, it doesn't help anybody. We want to basically just get that stuff processed and move back out as quick as we can. Because that opens more opportunity for us to receive more, which opens more opportunity for us to give it to somebody else so that they can take it out and go bless someone. We are about equipping people for ministry. So, there you go. It's miraculous. What you're seeing here at this church is miraculous. Nobody's on staff. Nobody's paid to go carry crosses for anybody else. Right? We all have to go live and serve Christianity. We have to live sort of a modern monk's life where we're each called to ministry, but we don't necessarily have the benefit of shutting out the rest of the world around us. We don't get to live in the quiet monastery that really you focus on prayer and study and eating, and that's it, right? All we have to do is pay the bills, show up at work on time, take care of the mortgage, pay our taxes, be friendly neighbors, take care of the yard, the house, whatever, make sure the kids are all right, on and on and on, all of those things. Oh yeah, and you still need to be a minister for the kingdom. It's the new monasticism. It's the new idea where you are both. It's not just a secular and a sacred world, but that we integrate those in our Christianity. All right, let's take a look ahead now. That was a look back. Now we're going to take a look forward, because if we have seen the miraculous so far, then what should we expect? We should expect the miraculous to continue. Matthew 25:37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. This is a great operating list. If you want to know what the church should be doing, it should be doing these things. And it should be doing it to the point of you get caught at it. Here, these ministers of the kingdom are being caught and rewarded for what they've done. They don't even realize it. When did we do this? We don't even remember. When did we serve you? When did we do all these things? So there's some opportunity there. One, it tells you what to do. Two, it's so commonplace, it's so often practiced, it's not noticed. And I suspect that there are going to be people who ran kitchens that show up and have this conversation. There's going to be people that just ran extra food from the food bank to one of their neighbors who they knew was sick that week. And they're going to have this conversation. There's going to be people that they just, you know, visited their grandmother in the nursing home, but then they also visited a couple other rooms too. And they're going to end up with this conversation. Lord, when did I do that? When did I do these things? Can you imagine all the hippie kitchens who have to have this conversation with the Lord someday? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Oh, when you did it to the least. That was when. I'm going to pull one of our mission statements directly from Matthew 10. And we are freely to do these things. Freely. There's no restrictions. You are able to go do these things. Go do them freely, in fact. You know, don't take money for these things. But also, go do them always and often. Freely preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Freely heal the sick. Freely cleanse the lepers. Freely raise the dead. Freely cast out demons. You don't need any permission. You can just go do that freely. Matthew 10 gives us that commission to go do these things. What's that operational list? And we just got that out of Matthew 25. We go to the least. And I love this idea, coming to. When did we come to you? They ask. So we come to the least, the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. If you want your list of what every creature looks like, this is it. This is the list. So as we look ahead, this is the list we want to go with. This is where we go, oh, okay, there's the opportunity right there. It's easy to identify now. It's all been listed out. When you see the naked, you bring clothes. You're not going to be warm enough tonight. You don't have shoes. You need socks. You're homeless. You need a tent. You got to stay dry tonight. You need a place to put your stuff. You need a covering for your shopping cart. It's going to the least. And when you're in the least situation, getting a hold of some Tylenol or some ibuprofen could be immense. So this year we're looking at where are we headed, right? This is the look forward now. So same ministries, but now what's the plans? Forest ministry. We want to do the medical clinic again. We want to do our veterinary clinic again. When we showed up and took care of people's dogs, the impact that had was amazing. And I've already spoken to our vet tech. He's excited and wants to come out and do it again. And now we're working on vaccination where we can get a vet that is from the county that we're operating in, that we're giving vaccinations, that they'll be able to come and join us for this so that we can get vaccinations out there, like rabies and whatever else. We want to continue doing water. We want to continue doing food and clothing. Africa ministry. We want to continue all three of those points that we talked about before. But also, I'd like to see if we can get some cell phones out there so that we can get better pictures of what's happening. We're sort of getting these weird, blurry views of amazing cultural impact. And it's like we're sitting back here kind of like squinting through and going, oh my God, they just like broke up the human trafficking in that area. And we can barely make it out. So it's hard to tell other people about it. And that bugs me. Right? Just because we got a blurry flip phone out on the other side. Food bank ministry. I want to be able to connect with our families through social. Just because you don't go here, you go to some other church, or maybe you don't go at all, doesn't mean that we can't still be a part of their conversation throughout the week. We post plenty of stuff. And to know that this tiny little church, right, does more than just a food bank, it might impact somebody. They might realize that we actually have a mission with their name on it to step out into a way that's ministering to those around them and sharing God's hope and love there. Connecting with families through social media or whatever platform they use, we'll figure that part out. Worship ministry. I want to get our songbooks digitized so that we can, you know, right now we have these big giant books and whatnot of song sheets. And it's great because they never run out of batteries, but it's a little cumbersome. So doing some update stuff there. Maybe add another drummer. Teaching ministry. We're going to finish out the book of Numbers. Don't worry. I'm not going to leave you halfway. We're right at the halfway point on Numbers. We're going to continue expository Bible study. You don't even realize how important. Now, I'm of course saying that in the middle of a topical sermon, but the importance of expository Bible study. This sermon is the different one of the usual. What we do regularly, which is a in-depth study of God's word, right? An answering of, society's complaints. You know, why doesn't God love me? All of those things that our society brings against Christianity, all the things that brings against God, those are answered in his word if we are willing to dig down and ask hard questions. So continuing of expository Bible study. I want to develop others this year. I'm doing way too much. So some of you just went, oh, really? Okay. And so that's your internal sign. The Lord's going, hey, sign up for a sermon. Sign up for a Sunday or whatever. And don't worry, we'll develop you. We'll walk you through and we'll show you what to do and help you along with that sort of thing. It's probably twice as much work for me on that given week to get you ready than to just get myself ready. But in the long run, then, we have more people who are capable and have the experience. So that's good. And we need to find some long-term curriculum for Logos Kids so that we have something so that our children's church ministers can have something ready to go every week and sort of relax the planning part there if we just get the right curriculum that matches up with our age group. But finding a good curriculum for our kids that matches biblical teaching with teaching them creationism. I mean, they're not getting it in school, so things like that. Prayer ministry. I want to coordinate more interchurch meetings. What we did that one night a couple months back was amazing. And to be able to do that once or twice a year is going to be fantastic. If you think about getting more churches involved, dusting our feet of all the people who are like, oh, that church is going to be there? Well, we don't want to come. Well, please don't. And but the churches that do want to come and do want to commit to prayer, those are the churches, those are the people, the ministers that we want. And then to take whatever it is that God doles out that night back to their church communities, their church families, and take that back with them. And to continue our healing and deliverance. I see probably more of that coming this year as we start reaching out to people outside our little circle. You know, there's people that are hurting, and deliverance is what they need. Healing sure gets their attention, though, doesn't it? Grounds. Re-angle that sanctuary ramp. Reinforce the back hill so it doesn't wash away on us. Replace that fence top rail. We've been talking about doing that. It might go a long way to sort of be good neighbors. Clean and relight the sign out front. The lighting up there on that thing is crazy. To get that clean and nice and shiny again. Taking what we do and not adding a whole lot more, but changing up a little bit. Setting some goals for this coming year. I'd like to think about prison ministry. Reestablish our connection with local prisons. Ness and I have done some prison ministry the year before last and the year before that, I think it was. But this last year, 2019, we haven't done any prison ministry, mostly because our time is just so filled right now. And it would be neat to see some of that sort of reestablished. I'm sure that there are people who are already going to prisons to minister. And so how can we get involved? What's some way that we can support that, if nothing more than to help reestablish that connection that we used to have? Ordination, reconnect with all our ministers. We got a ton of ministers out there. And then get through processing ordination applications. And I've been working on the website this week to make that more easier. Voicemail, get our phone tree established and set up call forwarding and get all our outgoing messages recorded, that sort of thing. And then for our online outreach, to get more sermons published and pushed out. And so you can see that there's a lot of things. Will we get to all of them this year? I don't know, but it'd be a miracle if we did. Phone tree is when you call in and it says press 1 for such and such. And it gives you like a message depending on which section you're at in the tree. Press 2 for this, press 3 for that. Mm-hmm. We can do some funny little ones in there, like, you know, if you're currently hearing voices and speaking in dark tongues, press 6. Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, we have a lot of people call in that have questions about the food bank, and getting a message where if they called in, it would immediately give them the information would be huge. So we just need to get all those things kind of laid down and recorded and whatnot. And then also maybe look at making sure our missionary supports happen with less effort. That would be nice. Okay, great. With so many things planned for the next year, you might think that this is a rally to do more. It is not. That's not what I'm interested in. Really. You might think, oh, let's get hyped. Let's get psyched, right? If we hype this up and we work really hard, who will get the glory? I don't want it. Right. But it's one of those things where, you know, we can all get psyched. Like, let's all, you know, push hard on this thing or that thing or whatever. We need to call a local vet and say, hey, would you be willing to come out on such and such day? A phone call. That's it. Not let's raise a bunch of money. Let's do this or that. Let's get psyched. Let's buy, you know, let's all wear the same t-shirt so we all are on the same activation and, you know, we're all unified and whatever the 2020, and we get cool shirts that say 2020 on them. And, you know, what's God's vision? Or, I mean, we don't have to do all that. You might mistake this sermon, though, to think that it is about that, and it is not. Because I'm not interested in getting a bunch of hype so that we can get the glory. It's not my church. I just work here. Okay? So, that brings us to the next step, which is the look inward. The look inward. Three things I have for you this morning. First one is develop a stronger prayer life. In your look inward for this year, develop a stronger prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. That's not what I see on Facebook. That's not what I see on the Insta crackers or whatever they are. I don't see rejoicing always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will is? It's that you give thanks in everything, that you rejoice always, that you pray without ceasing. This is God's will. This is God's will always, but especially this is God's will for this coming year, to develop a stronger prayer life. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, sure. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And we repeat verse 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's personal will for your life, is that you do all these things. Develop a stronger prayer life. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How is it the miracles are happening here at this church? We just ask. We just pray for them. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying for miracles. Let's see some amazing things happen here. And we look back and we go, I don't know how that happened. I mean, that's the scientific definition of a miracle, is it's just something that happened that you can't explain. You're like, oh, well, you don't have enough scientific knowledge, or we don't know enough about physics to explain how that occurred. So it's just referred to as the supernatural or the miraculous. Bring it on. I'll take it. I want to see stuff happen that I just go, I can't explain that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how this little church built two new buildings in Africa somewhere. Three new buildings. I don't know. It's a miracle. So, pray for one another, and then you get healed. Why? Because effective, fervent prayer avails much. Amen. What makes you righteous? That's the first part of the verse, confessing your trespasses to one another. Next up, develop financial commitment. And you're going, ah, here it is. Okay. Last sermon of the year. Preacher's going to hit us up for money.
Where's the thermometer?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Where's the... You got to buy my new 2020 Vision t-shirts, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You should have the same aversion to a fundraising thermometer as you do the one at your doctor's office, okay? Matthew 6:31. Let's talk about financial commitment. This is something I think is necessary for the coming year, but developing a financial commitment. Let's talk about this. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, as we do on social media. Shoes, shirts, hats. It's all there. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, the ungodly seek. Society goes after those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Why is it people have trouble developing financial commitment? Because they're unwilling to trust God. They're unwilling to go, he's got this. I can continue with the commitment that I made. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. I counted on the Lord. That's what it means. I trusted him. I counted on him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. Amen. With my song, I will praise him.
Hallelujah.
Why is the importance of the song there? Because a lot of people want to take this and say, well, if I pay God money, then I don't have to worry about the other stuff. That's not financial commitment. That's just purchasing indulgences from your father. That doesn't work. That changes the relationship, right? But when you think about faithfulness, you think about stewardship, you think about commitment. I'm going to do this thing, and I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm going to take that commitment and lay that at God's feet and just leave it there instead of carrying that around and worrying constantly. Therefore, do not worry. So instead of, I made that commitment to God. I'm going to try to move up to 6% this year. I can't get wrap my head around a full tithe, but 6%, I'm more than halfway there. But then constantly carrying that worry around going, I don't know if I can make it this month. I better just borrow from the Lord's, better borrow from my commitment to pay these bills. That's not trust. And that's not developing your trust to do that. It's certainly not developing the financial benefits you receive from tithing. Tithing is the fastest, the best way to gain control of your finances. To develop financial intelligence is one of the cheapest and fastest ways to do so. Yeah. And that's the supernatural part. In just purely the natural, which many carnal Christians are, just in that level, just understanding that making that type of commitment that, first of all, this is going to go to God, and I'm never going to see it again, and I'm going to trust the Lord that I can live on less.
And give it joyfully.
Right. And to do that and to make that decision requires that you start to adjust some things in your life. Amen. You can't make that commitment unless you go, well, I got to take it from somewhere. Unless you already automatically, every time you go to purchase a movie ticket or your mind doesn't race through like, do I really need this? Tithing is the only thing I know that does that immediately. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends it right off the bat. It's like one of the first envelopes. Anyway, so developing financial commitment is not about figuring out how much money you're supposed to give, and it's not me railing to say, oh, you need to give more. What it means is that you need to figure out the commitment part. You need to figure that part out and then be faithful to the commitment. Because if you can be faithful in that tiny little thing, then you can be faithful in a lot bigger things. So for this year, develop financial commitment. First one is develop stronger prayer life, which you probably will need once you make that sincere commitment in your finances. And you're like, okay, God, really going to need you this month. Lastly, develop a devotional life. Develop a devotional life. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. There's a lot of people that know the Bible. Certainly your friend knew the Bible and all the horrible things that it condoned in their minds, right? Yeah. They knew, they had heard the word of what was it, but they were not doers. They did not understand Scripture. They deceived themselves as to what it actually said. Maybe Christians convinced themselves, well, I know a lot of Scripture and that's good enough. What's the point of memorizing Scripture if you never recite it to anybody in their time of need? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Oh, I got some food on my face. And walks off. Leaves it there. Oh, I got something in my teeth. Oh, well. And then walks away. Had the vision of himself. That's what the Scripture does. It reveals who you really are. Shows you how you can change. That's all there. But then, never does it, never changes anything, never modifies, never works on anything. That's not devotional life. Devotional life is to be a doer of the word. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And that makes so much sense. You go up to the mirror, Scripture, and you take a look at it, and you go, huh, I got food stuck in my teeth. And then you go, eh, and you get it out, right? Now you go on to your job interview. Which would you rather do? Go for the job interview with the food stuck in your teeth, where they're thinking about that the entire time? Or would you rather come in looking sharp? Aha. We understand that in very simple, human terms and descriptions, but we need to understand that in a very spiritual way as well. Devotional life. Develop it this year. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. We are committing something right now. We're committing this way. That's what the look ahead was. It was a commitment to those things. We're going to trust God to do it, and He will bring it to pass. That way we're not looking around the room going, oh, good job, everybody. Really did it this year. We're going to get to see God do some amazing, mighty, miraculous things. Why? Because we're going to commit our way to the Lord. The commit is a weird word because it means something like roll. I guess like maybe if you're a wagon, you roll down a path. You almost think of it like just throw yourself into the path, all of you, into it. Go rolling down that path. It's that commitment that has to be made, and that comes through the devotional life, and you can see where this all ties back into your financial commitment. Your financial commitment is only waylaid by the fact that you don't also trust in Him. Whatever it is you're committing in your prayer life, whatever you're committing in your financial life, whatever you're committing in your devotional life, you got to trust God on that commitment that He's going to bring it to pass. Amen? So I want to bring us back to Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's going to be people that show up and have that conversation, have no idea why they're standing in front of the Lord. When did we ever do this? Oh, remember that kitchen you ran? Yeah, you did it to the least of these. That's when you did it to me. It almost sounds like an argument. I'm not supposed to be here. When did I ever do that stuff? Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hey guys, revival is here. Let's go share the kingdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful, miraculous year. And we pray for yet another one. Because God, if you don't show up, this is never going to work. And we pray for your presence this year. We pray that you would lead us in these areas of our lives, our devotional lives. Build us up, Lord. And Lord, we will trust you for the results. Help us share this message with others this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Guys, have a wonderful, happy new year.
Logos Christian Fellowship is dedicated to studying God's Word. The Bible says that God's Word always accomplishes what He desires and achieves His purpose. And regardless of what may happen in our lives, God's Word endures forever. Thanks for listening to That's Not in My Bible. Please share this with someone right now and like, subscribe, and comment. To support this ministry financially, please visit logoschristian.org.